This show is not a substitute for professional counseling. The views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Further, any opinions heard on the show are not meant to replace professional healthcare and mental health treatment. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional help and are a UA student, you are encouraged to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, it's straight up 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting live from the WVUA FM studio, 90.7 The Capstone, on the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. B.J. Gunther. I'm the host of the show, and in case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, in particular UA students. You can listen to us live each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM or online at www.wvuafm.ua.edu. Tonight, we'll be taking questions via email, so if you have them, please email questions to Brain Matters Radio at wvuafm.ua.edu. I'll keep asking throughout the whole show for questions, because at the end of last semester, we seemed to get a lot of questions from listeners, so many we couldn't get to most of them for our guests. Let me also remind you, this is not a call-in show, so I ask you don't call into the show with questions at this time, but as I mentioned before, you can always email us questions, and hopefully, I keep saying we're going to go to call-in, and hopefully this semester we'll push that forward and see what happens, because that'll make things a lot more exciting, I think. Also, if you have any upcoming ideas for upcoming shows, please email those to us, and I'll consider using your idea for certain topics. You know, I've already scheduled several speakers or guests, all the way probably until close to spring break, but we need some more topics. So if you can think of something good that you want to hear somebody talk about or that you have questions about, email those to me. It's brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. We had some really interesting and informative shows last semester. We actually did about 12 to 13 shows last semester, and you know, all kinds of topics. We started out talking about misuse of prescription drugs, and we talked about eating disorders. And, you know, as far as eating disorders go, I always like to have a show geared toward that each semester. And next week we're going to have a show about orthorexia. And if you don't know what that is, that's a form of, I believe, of an eating disorder that emphasizes exercising more than binging or purging or deprivation. So I'll mention that at the end of the show to remind you what we've got coming up next semester, next week. Last semester, I mentioned our first show we did was about prescription drug abuse and misuse, and we touched on the misuse of stimulant medications, but we didn't actually go into detail about the diagnosis of ADHD and the treatment. Our first guest tonight is Dr. Mark Thomas. Dr. Thomas, I know Dr. Thomas from working at the Student Health Center when he worked there. I don't know how long ago was it. How long ago was it, Dr. Thomas?
A couple of years ago.
And thanks for being on the show, by the way.
Thank you for having me.
A couple of years ago, and now he's in his own practice in Northport, Focus MD.
That's correct.
And I want you to tell us a little bit, give us a little bit about your personal background, how you got involved in working with people who have ADHD, and a little about your practice now.
All right. Thank you, BJ. I grew up in Geneva, Alabama, down in the Wiregrass area of the States. I'm proud to call that home.
Hold on, we've got some technical difficulties. This is our first show. Try that one. We're trying out microphones. Does that one
work? All right, so this mic working better? Okay.
Perfect.
So, as I was saying, I grew up in Geneva, Alabama, down in the southeastern corner of the States, and I have gotten into ADHD medication or medicine over the years. It really has been a evolving part of my practice, so that as I first started out, it was only a small portion of what I did, and has become more and more.
Mm-hmm.
My background is both pediatrics and adolescent/young adult medicine, uh-huh. with really the greater emphasis on adolescents and young adults in my practice. And originally, my interest in ADHD began as a good method to be able to reach that particular population, mm-hmm. Because I was practicing at that time in Northeast Tennessee, and there was a very great lack of psychiatrists and doctors that were available to treat ADHD and, mm-hmm. and kids and adolescents. So it began in that manner, and each time that I have changed positions and moved, mm-hmm. I've treated more and more ADHD each time, so that now basically ADHD and related conditions is the whole practice.
Why do you think that there has been an increase? Do you think there's been more education about ADHD or ADD? Or do you think more people are actually, I don't know how to say it, being diagnosed? That's not really what I'm trying to say.
Well, they're definitely...
Is it getting worse?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. And I think it's a combination of factors. I think definitely there is a lot more awareness, education. I think there's less stigma mm-hmm. than there used to be. More people are apt to embrace the diagnosis rather than to run away from it. I think that today's society, we have changed so many things about the way that we live that really challenge the attention span of individuals. Back in the days where most people worked jobs that involved using their hands a whole lot, farming jobs, industrial jobs, they were constantly moving. They didn't have as many challenges to their attention mm-hmm. Because they had a physical activity to do. And in
to
our
work the energy off.
Well, to work the energy and to also keep the body and the brain active.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The brain with ADHD really craves stimulation, craves activity.
Mm-hmm.
So having an inactive sort of job is just not the most compatible deal for those individuals.
I've got so many questions. My ADHD brain is going crazy right now. You know, I've had parents ask me, do you think, they tell me, my child is smart, my child is very intelligent. Do you think that they're not being stimulated enough in the classroom? How many times do you get asked that?
Quite a bit. And, you know, there certainly can be some validity to that. And the teaching styles in classrooms today is quite a bit different than it was when you and I were growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
And so that does provide a lot of additional challenges to students. They have a lot more distractions available to them, particularly through electronic entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
And they get so accustomed to the rapid pace of video games or material that's presented to them through electronics that something that doesn't involve that type of transmission of information becomes much more difficult for them to be able to sustain their focus.
Does it literally change your brain?
Well, the underlying predisposition to having ADHD is primarily a genetic thing. And there are genes that, particularly genes that are involved in regulating dopamine transmission in the brain, are very much involved in the transmission of ADHD mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. generation to generation. But there certainly can be some environmental influences that make someone with that underlying predisposition toward ADHD have a much worse time being able to compensate for that.
I see. What about, what's your opinion? Do you think the diagnosis, and I've had people ask me this, is it overdiagnosed? What is your opinion?
My favorite quote that I have seen on that came about 10 years ago from the American Medical Association JAMA.
JAMA. Mm-hmm.
And they said that ADHD is more than likely the most underdiagnosed and overdiagnosed condition.
How is that?
And there's a lot of times that people have the diagnosis made without a careful procedure that really looks at good data from multiple sources mm-hmm. to be able to confirm that the presence of symptoms really meet the criteria. But at the same time, there's still a lot of folks out there that still have the stigma attached, don't have access to services, or really don't even realize that the difficulty that they're undergoing reflects ADHD.
And that's what I find in this college age population sometimes, is somehow, and maybe you can enlighten us on this, somehow some individuals are able to, I guess, slip through the system or compensate all the way through, almost throughout their college years, and sometimes it catches up with them, you know, when they're a sophomore or junior. How does that happen?
Well, you're absolutely right about that, and that's really one of the most common scenarios that I see. All too often, they're really bright individuals with ADHD are able to make it through school without any problem in their academic achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
they may have to work extra hard. It may take them longer than it takes their peers to be able to accomplish things. And they probably have never had to be so challenged that they really have to develop study habits
right.
or time management habits. They may also have teachers and parents providing so much support for them in the home environment that when they come to college and they no longer have that, things have a tendency to fall apart for
them.
That's what happens. Plus, the material that they're presented is much more complex and requires a lot more of them, and they really fall behind and get discouraged.
Let's see if we've got an email question. I think we had some already before you actually started talking. Let's see. Okay, this is about medication. I bet you get more questions about medication than you can even answer in a day. Can ADHD be corrected without medication? If so, how?
So the question is correcting ADHD
without medication.
Without medication.
Whew.
Well, first thing that I would say to that is that ADHD is one of those conditions that can be treated,
mm-hmm.
but the treatment is not a cure. Even medication doesn't cure, but it treats. It very much helps make the symptoms be a whole lot less, help them to function so much better in whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as non-medical treatments, there are a number of things out there that may well help, but they're usually much more of a help when they're done in addition to medication rather than instead of medication.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those treatments that have been shown to make a difference only really make a difference during the time frame in which the individual is undergoing the treatment. So such things as biofeedback, what they have seen is when they're going to this intensive program, 3 or 4 times a week, hour-long sessions with the therapist doing that type of therapy, it may be helpful during that time frame.
It's just slower too, isn't it?
Right. But there's little evidence that anything that they gain really persists beyond that.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break in just a minute, and when we come back, I want to ask you about testing. Because some doctors that, and I know you working on this campus at the Student Health Center, you can probably attest to this. You know, some physicians require testing, some physicians do not. And I want to know, first of all, when somebody comes and sees you, do you require that they are tested? Or do you go by like a checklist? Or how do you know that somebody, is there a definitive test for ADHD? Hold that thought, Dr. Thomas.
All right.
We're going to take a break right now. Hopefully, Jordan has been able to find us some Eagles songs. As some of you may or may not know, we lost Glenn Frey yesterday. He was the founder of the Eagles, which is Nick Saban's favorite band. I love the Eagles. So enjoy listening. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7, The Capstone. Hey, you're back listening to Brain Matters. This is 90.7 The Capstone. I'm BJ Gunther, and we're talking tonight about ADHD. Is it for real? And we've got Dr. Mark Thomas. He is from FocusMD is his practice in Northport. And we just left off talking a little bit about testing. And I'm curious about, hold on. Can you hear now? And I'm curious about, is there a definitive test for ADHD that you can take and you can say you are or you are not?
Well, unfortunately, there's not just a single test that can definitely tell us that. It's what we call a clinical diagnosis. My approach to it is that I want to get information from at least three different sources to be able to confirm the presence of symptoms that do meet the criteria for ADHD. First source of information is from the patient and the family themselves. Second source of information would be from others outside the household that have an opportunity to observe the individuals in the context of others in their same age bracket and in similar situations. And then in my practice, we use a continuous performance test based upon a computer algorithm that provides us with a objective source of data. Now, the standards of society, such as the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, do not necessarily say that any of those types of testing are specifically necessary, that any tests other than the clinical tests through interviews and through the use of behavioral rating scales. But it is important that there are multiple sources for that. That can be difficult, particularly in some of our college students that may not have a relationship with their parents.
That's right.
Our family members, that they can go back and get that type of data from before. In a college setting, you rarely have that kind of relationship with your professor that you would have with
the high school teacher.
So that, you know, and with the younger kids and the high school students, we're using teachers all the time as part of the evaluation process. Now, when I was at Student Health, I think that I was really known as one of the tougher folks, in other words, making people
jump through all the hoops
to make sure that they have the diagnosis of ADHD. And I think that it is important. And I want whoever I make that diagnosis for them to be able to feel very confident years down the road that it was a
it's
the right diagnosis because there was a legitimate process that they went through.
You know, speaking of working at the Student Health Center, and you saw all college students, were they honest with you about, I guess, abusing Adderall stimulant medication? Because I ask them when I first meet them, you know, have you ever tried Adderall? What does it do to you? And sometimes they're hesitant. They'll be like, I know I'm not supposed to because it's not prescribed to me, but I have tried Adderall. It works great for me. You know, they give me that kind of answer. What's your response to that when you hear of students who are misusing Adderall just to help them focus during finals week?
Right. I definitely hear that all the time. And oftentimes they are self-medicating. In fact, there's a lot of studies that are done about the misuse of ADHD medication on college campuses.
Yeah.
And one of the more interesting studies that was done not only tracked the usage of the medication without a prescription, but it asked those particular students that were using it in that way to fill out rating scales on themselves and found out that a lot of them actually probably had underlying ADHD that had never been recognized and they were basically self-medicating. Likewise, I find a lot of students self-medicate with such things as caffeine.
They're substituting
a different type of stimulant.
Definitely.
Problem is it's not specific for the parts of the brain that are involved with ADHD, so it can cause a lot of other problems.
You know, you mentioned ADHD and dopamine. How is that related to mood disorders, or is it? Because when I hear dopamine, you know, my first thought is the mood, how that affects your mood.
There's definitely a lot of overlap in symptoms between ADHD and various mood disorders. ADHD can both be mimicked by certain mood disorders, but it can certainly coexist. And a lot of times it may even contribute to depression or anxiety. When we have an individual that comes in that is suffering from both ADHD and either depression or anxiety, we have to prioritize which are we going to treat. And in some cases, the medication might make the other condition worse.
Yeah, so I've heard students describe it that way because they're frustrated and become depressed or just, you know, their mood is affected because they can't produce material that they need to produce to make good grades.
Right, and that's very discouraging to them, particularly those who have been used to achieving at a very high level before they have gotten to college, and now they find out that
they crash.
They can't make the same grades that they did before, and it just really blows their image of themselves. But in those situations where the ADHD is causing the anxiety or the depression, we often see those symptoms get better just by treating the ADHD. But in other situations where there's particular like anxiety disorders or obsessive compulsive disorder, we often see those things getting worse, and we have to back off on the...
Because of the stimulant?
Right. We have to back off on the stimulant treatment and come back with something different and maybe be able to add the stimulant back on after we have controlled the anxiety.
What other ways are there to treat ADHD or ADD besides stimulant medication? What other medications? I know there's non-stimulant medication. Is that successful in your opinion?
Well, there are a number of other medications that have been approved for treating ADHD that are non-stimulants, specifically by the name brands of Strattera, Intuniv, and Cafe. Some of those are ones that mimic certain antidepressants in their pharmacological activities. Others mimic some old blood pressure medications. But they can be effective, and they can be wonderful drugs in certain individuals, but they don't affect positively nearly as many individuals as the stimulant medications do, and they don't tend to make as big of a difference. But one of the reasons is because stimulant medications are almost universally effective. Some studies show up to 85 to 90% of individuals with ADHD will respond well to at least one of the stimulants.
I've had very few people that I've seen do well on Strattera, to be honest.
It's a very difficult drug to manage and manage well.
I believe you. Let me see if I've got another question. Will you take some more?
Certainly.
How about, let's see, what are your thoughts, pros and cons, about taking ADHD medication that is prescribed to be taken daily on an as-needed basis?
Well,
that's an interesting question, but I have students that do that.
Right. And I think that pattern of prescribing.
For example, if the medication is only taken the day before a test when trying to study. I didn't finish the question, sorry.
There's a lot of problems with that. One is that if they're not taking the medication daily, then their body can never get accommodated to the medication. So it's difficult to figure out what is the right dose of the medication for them. And it may have variable effects on them. It also means that they don't have the chance to overcome the side effects of the medication. I even advocate to students who come to me at the end of the semester that it may not be a good idea to start the medication right before finals, because we don't know if the first thing we try is
going to guinea pig, basically.
Be more effective or have more side effects.
Is ADHD medication, is stimulant medication dangerous?
Well, taken by someone who has an underlying heart condition that's never been identified, that's particularly susceptible to being put into an abnormal heart rhythm that can't pump blood, certainly there would be a huge risk for them to take the medication. But the problem is that they're not easily identified. whenever we see someone before we ever start them on medication, we very carefully screen them to make sure that it is safe for them to take the medication.
That's what worries me about students who come in and they'll tell me they've taken Adderall, blah, 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 and it's not prescribed to them. I'm like, well, how much did you take? And they usually don't know.
They're usually clueless.
Can college students who've never been diagnosed with ADHD in the past and who did well academically before coming to college be legitimately diagnosed with it for the first time?
I would say that definitely they can. And that's a very common scenario that I do see. Mm-hmm. And it's, as I was talking about before, because they're so bright, because their intelligence is such that they've been able to get along and basically do what we would call learning by osmosis. They never actually crack the book or study, but they absorb. They absorb the material, but they can reach a point where at some point the material becomes too complex.
They hit the brick wall. That's
exactly
what I call it.
Mm-hmm. For some kids, it's when they go into middle school. For a lot of individuals, it's when they go off to college.
That's right, or graduate school even.
That's what I was going to say, is that a lot of times I've seen it in individuals where it was finally when they went into graduate work that it finally took such a toll that they really needed to get diagnosed and treated.
Mm-hmm. And they probably had it all these years.
Probably,
you know, so. And literally suffered. Okay, let's see, one more question from the email. If I take Adderall and it helps me study, does that mean I have ADHD?
Absolutely not.
That's a good question.
It is a good question. Certainly the medication would have a greater effect.
And you might not go to sleep for several days, right? No, I'm kidding.
Well, taking the wrong dose or taking a long-acting form of it. I mean, if you're taking it without a prescription, you're basically playing the lottery to figure out if that's going to be more helpful than hurtful to you. But I would go back to say that if somebody has ADHD, truly have ADHD, it not only impacts them in the academic aspects of their life, but it impacts their relationships. Mm-hmm. It impacts how they get everything done on a daily basis. And it also affects how safe they are when they drive. Mm. Not treating ADHD can lead to some very unfortunate conclusions. Mm-hmm. So they really do need to be taking the medication every day and just not on an as-needed basis.
Is ADHD, which is attention deficit with hyperactivity disorder, it's obviously different from ADD, attention deficit disorder. Are they treated the same way with the same types of medication?
Well, officially, the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, did away with the diagnosis ADD about 20 years ago, so that they began terming it all as one condition. Mm-hmm. For a while, they were breaking it out into different subgroups. Now, we're just simply talking about how the condition presents, which symptoms it presents with at a particular moment in time.
Okay.
Because that may change, and certainly it may change depend upon who is reporting those symptoms. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes the individuals who have both the hyperactivity / impulsivity component when they're younger as well as the inattentive component may only have one or the other. And it's more common that they would go from having that combined type where they have both to the inattentive variety of it. But the underlying things that are going on in the brain that are different are the same between those who don't have the hyperactivity and those who do. And the treatment is pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same. Do you have anything else you want to add that I know this has gone by very quickly and I had so many questions. We didn't get to half of the questions. Can you think of anything else that you want to touch on that might be important for our listeners who are mainly college students?
Well, what I would want someone to know is if they suspect that they have ADHD, if they're going through great discouragement in their college career, that getting the diagnosis and treatment can make a world of difference for a lot of individuals. At the same time, I would highly discourage anybody who doesn't truly have ADHD for trying to seek out to get treatment. It really does not do nearly as much good. And
it's not necessarily the answer for everyone.
Absolutely right.
So Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun.
I could probably talk about this the whole hour, and we're going to be talking about it the whole hour, but not with you, right?
Yeah, it's almost disappointing to have to give it the microphone, but thankfully we have a bright young student.
Oh, we do.
That's coming in to take the chair.
We do, and who knows where that will go.
All right,
that might
very
be
good.
Interesting. Thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it. Hope to see you soon. We're going to take a break. You'll be back in a few minutes listening to me and Cape Sandlin. He's my second guest. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7, The Capstone. Hey, you're listening to Brain Matters. I'm BJ Gunther, and we're talking tonight about ADHD. Is it for real? We just got through talking with Dr. Mark Thomas, whose private practice is called Focus MD. It's over in Northport, and he mainly sees individuals who have a diagnosis of ADHD or are trying to figure out whether or not they have the diagnosis of ADHD. And tonight, my second guest is Cape Sandlin. Cape is a UA student, and you may recognize, I don't know if you're on, are you on the air?
Not currently.
Okay, but the show Geek Life, who follows that usually follows us. I thought y'all were following us.
We still have to get the grid all lined and everything.
Hopefully,
like that.
You'll still follow us.
Oh, no doubt.
After next week, hopefully.
I always love high fiving you before I go on air and talking to Jordan about science and such.
Oh my gosh, all the smart stuff, right? Okay, so tell me a little bit about yourself. I have never really asked that much about why you suggested doing a show on ADHD.
Well,
because I wanted to save it for tonight.
Well, I remember my car doesn't work right now for the letting in, and I listened to some of the shows randomly, and when I came in, I think I asked Jordan. I'm not sure. Did I ask you, Jordan?
Jordan's throwing his hands up.
Yeah, I don't know. But I asked him, I said, have you all done a show about ADHD? Because, you know, it's something I want to make a superpower. It's not something as something bad. And so I also have dyslexia, and I said ADHD or dyslexia, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or so, ADHD.
Yeah.
A-H-D-A. Wait, I'm doing it in a dyslexia tone, mm-hmm. Okay? You're supposed to laugh.
We're teeple-poo, okay?
Yeah, okay.
We're teeple-poo, okay?
Okay, back up a minute. Tell me when you were diagnosed with ADHD mm-hmm. and what's been the treatment?
If you
don't mind me prodding.
Oh, I don't care. You don't poke hard. So I was diagnosed in seventh or eighth grade. The teacher said, now, class, I'm going to have someone in today, and they're going to be watching me. But really, they were watching me.
Oh, yeah.
And so I didn't know that, no. So they watched me. I got tested by this guy named Dr. Penn. Very, very nice guy. I still talk to him sometimes when I go home. And he knew what he was doing.
Huh.
And he... When he took all his testing, they consulted my parents,
uh-huh.
and then they're like, we think this, and then they got me tested, and then, so long story short, they got me tested, and it was positive,
mm-hmm.
and they also found out about the dyslexia, and then after that, the first thing was like, we won't put him on medication, but my mom is very much like, she wants one thing, and it's my success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she may annoy me with it, but it's all out of love, and
was
I love her very much.
Was she kind of anti-medication?
She was at
yeah,
first, yes.
Yeah, I hear
she
that
said,
a lot.
Like, she said, you know, I don't want to do medication, and they were like, okay, let's get him organized.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm older, I'm seeing why, you know, why that. And then, so, I won't go into my long story unless you've asked certain kind of medications.
Sure.
I went to different medications, uh-huh. and I flip-flopped between all these other ones.
Did you feel like a guinea pig?
I did, but at the same time, like, looking back, I see, like, why certain things helped
mm-hmm.
and why it didn't, and so on and so forth. And also, I didn't understand why, because looking back, I'm like, oh, I'm just doing this, you know?
Yeah, it just kind of mm-hmm. came natural.
Yeah.
You didn't know it was happening.
Yeah, and then when I'm older, I'm like, okay, now I'm going to make this into a superpower. And so I've been reading books like Teaching Superman How to Fly. It was a book in McClure. Dyslexia, how to explain it to your child from McClure, and how it used to be called word blindness and stuff like that, and just understanding it. And then, like, I got retested when I came to Alabama because they wanted to be tested every 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And
literally.
And so, you know, they said, we want you to have a more exact, for to have ODS. I'm almost like, you know, for example, real quick, My teacher saw me writing in algebra, and she saw, I hated this teacher, I hate her so much, but she saw me writing and my lead kept on breaking, and she said, "You have a heavy hand, are you dyslexic?" I was thrown back, excuse me? And then so she found out.
How'd she know?
Yeah, and so she was like, "Dyslexics have a heavy, heavy hand," and so she got me help, and she got me extra time, she got this, that, the other. And that...
Do you still hate her?
No, not at all.
Okay, just curious.
Maybe a little bit, but she could give me a better grade. Yeah. You know, that was me.
Hey,
but,
hey, did you make... Were you in seventh grade before you got diagnosed? Mm-hmm. What were your grades like?
It was about C's and D's, maybe.
So did that improve after you got the diagnosis?
It did, but at the same time, it wasn't like, whoa, because...
It was gradual.
Yeah, when I got retested, I thought, is it ADHD or is it chronic laziness? That's what Mom would say, too.
Oh, my gosh,
but
yes.
But the thing is, like, but once I understood it more, I'm understanding why it happens. And, like, I could listen to your past interview and talk to other people.
Uh-huh.
I can multitask, do this, that, the other. Other people can't. And, you know, I'm learning about myself, thus learning about others.
Do you feel like, you know, I've had students that are really worried about the label, you know, and they don't want to appear like there is something wrong with them or like they're sick, you know, because that's how they feel when they get diagnosed.
We all have the same ingredients to bake a cake and we're all baked differently. And it's
can I
about,
tweet that?
Yeah.
Okay,
do
sure.
Do it. And hashtag it too. But the thing is, like, it's about making what you have into a superpower. You know? I mean, that's the...
Using what you've got and using that to your advantage.
Yeah, using what you have to the best advantage. And so, like, yeah, it may annoy some people, but, you know, my mom, like, she's always there to help me. Like, she said, "You always cut off people." And, like, you know, you don't want to listen to someone that loves you very much. And then now I'm starting to listen to her, and, like, I notice I do this with people, and when I'm in a professional setting,
mm-hmm.
I walk into a room, and mm-hmm. she taught me, like, people are always talking about something. You don't have to bust in. So we talked for 30 minutes about it, and then I walked in the other room. I came in 5 seconds later, "Mom, look at my pants." And she was like, "Cape, me and your sister are talking." "Oh, we just talked about that."
You have to practice that.
Yeah, it's just like anything else.
What's been your biggest learning experience here at UA?
Learning that we all have something no one knows about, probably. Like, yeah, I could talk about what I've learned in class, this, that, the other. But learning, like, one thing I've wanted to learn is how I can learn better. Understand it, not just know mm-hmm. the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Mm-hmm. And utilize it.
Yeah, they should give me a job.
Hey, I didn't ask you, where are you from and what year are you and what's your major?
I am a TCF major. I'm from North Alabama,
uh-huh.
from a town called Hartsell, the city of Southern hospitality.
Hartsell.
Yeah, it's
and
near
great
Huntsville.
Baseball teams.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Glad,
the Hartsell
glad
Tigers, is
so.
It? Isn't it the Hartsell Tigers?
Yeah, but we also have an awesome band, which I was in, an awesome community theater.
Where'd you
which
play?
I was in. What did I play in band?
Yeah.
Trumpet, not to do my own horn.
Okay.
But, you know,
but
I was also band president, and that is something I would toot my horn about.
So what's your major at TCF?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you want to do?
I want to work for, my dream goal is to work for Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And I was told in community college, a dream without a plan is just a wish. And I really want to achieve that. And I have really good friends, which I'm probably going to meet after this. Working in Canvas Movie Fest and such, and trying to be the best I can be with what I have.
What year are you? Did you say?
Oh, sorry. I'm just all over the place.
You're okay.
I am a...
I'll reel you in.
I am a junior about to be a senior.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make pretty good grades? Not getting too personal.
Get as personal as you want. Mom's listening, so I can be completely honest.
Hi, Mom. Mm,
yeah. But in all my major classes, I make A's, B's, you know. But in my non-major classes, it's hard to, like... concentrate on thinking like, okay, I need to know liabilities equals assets, but how would that help me? Like, I have a good, like, I can talk about anything. Say, talk about toasters in with Hulk. Okay, here
we
go.
Oh, yeah, me too,
but
me too.
The thing is, like...
I don't have a problem carrying a conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
You can tell, right?
Yeah, definitely. But that, you know, that's probably the thing I learned is learning to, with what I have, do the best I can. And it sounds very motivational and whatnot, but I mean, I gotta have those bad times too. You know how it is.
Everybody does.
Oh, yeah, no
Everybody
doubt.
Everybody does. Okay, we're gonna take a break right now. When we come back, I wanna ask you about when you first got here to college. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of students when they first get here, they're unorganized anyway, mm-hmm. and they're not used to living on their own, yada mm-hmm. yada. Time management is a big issue. I wanna ask you how you handled that when you first got here.
Okay.
So keep that thought. We'll be right back.
Does crying count?
Well, yeah, it
okay,
does.
Okay.
It does.
Just wondering.
I see a lot of that at the counseling center, too.
I really? I don't do that in front of people.
Anymore.
You know we do well.
You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7. We'll be right back. Hey, you're listening to Brain Matters, and this is BJ Gunther. We're talking about ADHD. Is it for real tonight? And during the break, you just listened to some David Bowie. David Bowie also passed away in the past 2 weeks. I mean, what is up with... My gosh, this is like my generation.
Like
a little
David
bit
Bowie.
Before my generation.
Do I look like David Bowie? Someone
a little bit.
Someone told me that the other day.
Minus the eye makeup.
Well, not now. I don't have any guy-liner on. But, you know,
oh, my goodness.
I was in theater, so yeah.
You could have your own show. You don't need Geek Life. Branch off.
I feed off people like you.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. Oh, okay. What was I talking about? Okay, we're going to talk about... I want to ask you how difficult it was to adjust... to scheduling conflicts, being mm-hmm. on your own, living in a different environment, basic time management issues with a diagnosis of ADHD.
Okay, first of all, it's very, like, people who have OCD, you know, people are like, sorry, I'm OCD, and mm-hmm. they don't even have it, but...
It's like an excuse.
Yeah, it's an excuse, and sorry, I'm just ADHD, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, it's, well, it is ADHD now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what Dr. Thomas said, yeah.
Yeah, and so the thing is, like, when I first got here, like, my mom, once again, big, big movement in my life. You know, she really helped me a lot, and she told me before I left with my car all backed up, she said, make yourself proud.
You made me cry.
Yeah, I cried probably on the way here. And so she said, make yourself proud, which was this time last year because I transferred in. And so, like... That's really awesome, and she also, we found an apartment right next to school, so if I woke up, I'm like, oh, I'm late, I'm going back to sleep. No, it was like, oh, I'm late, I've been working out, I can run there, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing about time I've noticed is that when you have nothing to do, that's when you start getting depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And always keep yourself busy, and, you know, be with people who are honest with you, and so on and so forth, but...
Do you ever get bored?
I don't really like saying I get bored because there's always something to do.
Exactly.
I worked in food, and my boss really taught me. We had a list of tasks, and my biggest kryptonite at the time was definitely, here's the list of tasks,
uh-huh.
order of priority.
Really?
Yeah, and so I would have to write the list, and then he would show me, like, okay, we got to do pudding cups because pudding cups can be knocked out, and then we can... Pop the bread in, you know.
Something else.
Yeah. He showed me, like, how to prioritize.
Uh-huh. And that works for everybody.
It is. And also, I worked on, I did experiments with myself.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look at my computer. I have many, many files of why have people started using Ritalin and all this and all that stuff you are talking about. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, I didn't know that, you know.
You know, one of the hardest things I'll say, when I have a student come to me mm-hmm. at the counseling center, and they either have a diagnosis of ADHD or we're trying to get that diagnosis mm-hmm. confirmed.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for a student to teach or encourage or motivate somebody to do what you're saying, to mm-hmm. like write stuff down and prioritize. Because
part of
the issue is the forgetfulness, the impulsivity.
Well, the younger me was like, organization? You know, but
yes.
But it's one thing mom always tried to strive in me. She's like, she's honest with me. She would be like, you smell. I'm like, no, I don't. But now that I'm older,
TMI.
And now that I'm older, I'm like, okay, before I go out, put on
self-monitoring.
You know,
yes.
And yeah. And
of course.
Always have honest people in your life. And organization sounds like a pain. Like the one thing I did, my friend Mike says I take the best notes because I do in different colors.
Yeah.
And it really does help.
No, I hear a lot of people.
It does
and it
really,
sounds
really
like,
help.
Oh my gosh, how do you do that?
Well, it's like, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's different, you just gotta know yourself. And if I said, like, I forget a lot, I really do.
And don't fall into the trap of, oh my gosh, this is crazy. You know, because people will criticize you. They'll see you taking notes, not you, but, you know. Mm-hmm. Other students will see you taking notes in different colors and be like, what is he doing?
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
I
you
really
have
don't.
To not care.
Well, the thing is, too, like, you want, as make yourself proud, make yourself the best person you want to be, and see, like, I forget a lot. Is it short-term? I forget which one. ADHD has, like,
it's
good
short-term.
Long-term?
Yes.
Good long-term, bad short-term.
Yes. And, I mean, if you... You know, if it works for you and you've got a goal of being successful, then you're right. Who cares?
Well, yeah, but, like, the thing is, you got to trust yourself, too, because mom would say, go clean your room. And then 5 minutes later, she's like, why didn't you do that? And it was put into my short-term memory.
I can't remember that.
No, well, she says a list of stuff. And by the time she's talking on the fourth thing, I'm like, huh, I should go watch that new Batman movie. Or, you know.
Yeah.
But,
there's
like,
a squirrel. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about, you mentioned ODS. That's the Office of Disability Services.
Yes, ma'am.
How soon did you get registered with them? How did you find out about ODS? And has it benefited you?
ODS, I learned from my nurse. She was...
When you were in high school?
No, my nurse, I haven't... Well, she's a nurse practitioner now.
Oh, here at the Student Health Center.
No. She was in North Alabama. And cool. She was the roommate of my sister. And they really didn't get along. But, you know, they're still
That's
good friends.
That's a whole
friend.
Nother
they're still good
show.
Friends. Yeah, they're still good friends, but not good roommates. But... She's pretty much, she had ADD, and she would take Ritalin every now and then because she was diagnosed, and she told me about ODS, mm-hmm. and, like, mom strived to come to Alabama. I wanted to come to Alabama because I knew less people here. Yes, all three siblings went here before, but I knew less people
That doesn't
here.
Count.
Yeah, and roll tide. And the thing is, like, she recommended that I do ODS, mm-hmm. and mom was, like, you know, referring back to the ninth grade teacher, she got you help. That helped you a lot. And she's like, I want you in and out of school, you know? And
yeah. We've had Judy Thorpe, who's the director.
Yes. And that's the first person we saw. As soon as we came here, we talked with her.
Wonderful. And she's been on the show before mm-hmm. to talk about the benefits of ODS. Mm-hmm. ODS. But I have some students that are like, you know, I'm really trying to talk them into just going and talking to somebody ODS because mm-hmm. there are such benefits.
There are. But, like, the thing is, like, you can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's not required.
ADHD has been linked to having depression. And
sure.
I mean, pretty much the medicine is an antidepressant because I came out of class one day pretty hyped up on my meds. And I was like, I could be a film critic.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, no. But the thing is, they have to, like, you want to do this, that, the other. You want to mold their lives because you're a great, great teacher, a great person.
Sure.
But at the same time, you have to tell them, if you want to be the best person you want to be, you got to be hard on yourself. You got to know mm-hmm. what's best for you.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a hard question. I think it's a hard question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, you heard me talking to Dr. Thomas, what do you think about other students on this campus who abuse, you know, stimulant medication and they're not diagnosed with ADHD? What's your opinion?
I think it's pretty weird because... But at the same time, if it works for you, it does. But you need to get diagnosed because...
Just my thing is because of the dosage.
Different folks, different, you know.
No, I'm saying if they're taking... You heard me talk to him about if they're taking medication from a friend or something,
yeah.
they don't know the diagnosis.
Well, they don't know
right.
themselves. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, you know, I can eat so much sweets and my stomach hurts.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
You got to know yourself. As I said before, like, your short-term and your long-term, you know. My short-term memory is terrible, but if I tell someone, like, my friend had some friends from New York come over, and come down from Alabama, and I gave him my Alabama hat, I forgot I completely did that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, dude, you said I could have this, and I was like, I trust myself, so, yeah. And
I guess I did, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, did I say anything to when I gave it to you? And he said, yeah, you said that if I have it, I have to say roll tide to anyone I see. And I was like,
okay,
I trust myself, I did say that.
I'll buy that.
But,
not bad.
Yes, I would say that it is really tough to motivate someone to do this,
mm-hmm.
but it really is a help. Mom said, do you have a note taker? Do you,
yeah.
you know, stuff like that. And at first it was like, get off me, mom. You
know.
But at the same
I
time,
I want to be free.
Like,
I want to be independent.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, but these people are here to help. And
oh, yeah.
Judy Thorpe is definitely, she was like, okay.
She's an angel.
Yeah, this shows that you're dyslexic. We believe that, but you got to get retested for ADD.
It's probably because the testing was older than, like, 5 years or something.
Well, yeah.
If there's a limit.
Yeah, and so that was the most... And I kind of doubted myself. It was younger me just lazy or... And now that I'm more aware, and as soon I recorded all my results, everything,
mm-hmm.
and I just recorded it, and then I sent it to my mom, sent it to my dad, sent it to... pretty much my whole family was like,
here it is, yeah, here's the proof.
Learn something
keep
from it.
On
about,
file.
Yeah, learn about it for yourself. Not just saying, here's the proof. It's just like, make yourself better based
okay.
on this.
Did you say you have three siblings older than you
yep.
who went here?
Yeah, I'm the baby. Mom stopped at the best. So.
Okay, so you heard Dr. Thomas. Maybe you didn't.
I did.
He said that a lot of it is inherited.
Mm-hmm.
So is it inherited? Does anybody else in your family have ADHD?
I don't want to...
Or tendencies?
I don't want to say it. I mean, if there's no results with my test, I would still have results.
Yeah.
But I sent it to my family because they won't go, oh, maybe I'm ADHD too.
Mm-hmm.
They took it as, I can learn from this part, this part, but not everything. I mean, I'm different than them.
Yeah.
And, like, my aunt is very ADHD like me. But, like, every time I go see her, she's like, all right, I'm working on a table. All right, well,
yeah.
I'm making a quilt.
Yeah.
You know, she's doing something.
Uh-huh.
And I see a lot of myself in her. And understanding someone else, like, we all get sad. You know, not we ADHD people, but people
yeah.
in general.
People in general, yeah.
When you go through hard times or good times, that understanding makes it so awesome. Me and Jordan over there, we both love X-Men. We have that mutual ground.
Me too. I cannot wait for the movie to come out.
Oh.
The X-Men Apocalypse.
Okay,
oh my gosh.
We have a new vet.
We could totally.
Talks.
Yeah.
Geek Life. Sorry.
Okay, so we're going to go straight into Geek Life after this show and
right,
just start talking about X-Men, Shadowhunters. I want to see that. I don't know if y'all caught The Colony
mm-hmm.
with Josh Holloway. I didn't
we'll
catch it.
That in a bit,
we'll
but,
get into that. Yeah. Back to ADHD.
Always when I meet someone, I find that middle of the Venn diagram and I want to. Like, no matter if it's good, bad, ugly, I mean, good and bad are relative, but if there are no results with my test, I still would have results.
Mm-hmm.
And if they said, you're not ADHD, and I'll be like, okay.
Something's but, going on.
Yeah, I gotta figure this out.
Uh-huh.
And, like...
So it's a lot better for you now.
It is.
Basically.
But I'm still learning about it, and I'm still having honest people around me, like my mom, and so on and so forth, and...
Are any of your friends honest with you?
Yes, I have a good friend, Mike. Before I left here, like, he said, I went up to him and said, all right, bro check, do I stink? You know, stuff like
no,
that.
No, but you're getting on my nerves.
Well, he was writing a script, so I he could have said that, but, you know.
You kind of have to have a thick skin, too.
You do.
Because people will say things to you like that. Seriously, they
life.
Will say things like, okay, have you put on deodorant today? I don't know
well,
why we're talking about deodorant
well, I'm the
stinking
fourth, I'm the fourth
so much.
Kid, so when we play basketball, I was the basketball, you know?
That's yeah.
how it worked. I have thick skin, but the thing is, many people don't, but the thing to take from all of this is just do the best you can with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's it.
I could repeat that 50 million times, and that's something I have to repeat to myself a lot. And
well, and I think it's more powerful coming from a peer than somebody
mm-hmm.
like me, who's a therapist. I mean, I found in the past that there's been more power in the groups that we offer at the counseling center
yeah.
just because it's peer-to-peer.
Yeah,
you know
I can
what I mean?
Understand that, but...
It's harsh
well,
sometimes,
they,
but...
They still... It's what they see you as, you know? You're
mm-hmm.
there to help, but they... It's like seeing your teacher at Publix. You're like, teachers have lives?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
That's why I don't hang out on this trip.
No.
Thanks for being on the show, Kate. This has
no
gone
problem.
By fast, really
yeah.
fast. We're going
to
have to come
have to
up
chat again. I've needed to come to.
We're going to have to come up with another topic for another show. Seriously, for you
Brainstorm.
To be on.
I'm sure.
We could talk about X. Isn't it coming out in May? When is it coming out?
Well, if
Apocalypse,
I would really like to talk about like. I mean, this is a great show. It really is.
Thank you.
It's the people that make it really great, and I mean.
If I do
besides
say
you,
so myself.
You.
Yeah.
You're
talking about, he's basically talking about Jordan because it's just me and Jordan here.
Yeah.
And Natalie. Natalie
no,
will be here next week.
You are very professional, but I think it's a really solid show and you'll have a lot you can talk about.
Oh, man.
Well, I could.
Never run out of topics.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of topics, next week we're going to talk about orthorexia. We're going to have a show coming up, which I'm really excited about treating clients with chronic pain. There's a lot
mm-hmm.
more students on this campus who experience chronic pain,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a sports injury or something that they were born with,
mm-hmm.
like juvenile arthritis. I mean, you name it. There's a lot more students on this campus that experience chronic pain.
Wow.
So we're going to have that topic.
What
I
is
wanna...
the first one you said? Something like in the very first thing, something... something, yeah. Sorry I interrupted you.
What was it? For
the very first one.
For the chronic pain?
Yeah, before that.
Hmm.
I just...
Orthorexia.
What is that?
Orthorexia is a form, it's a type of an eating disorder mm-hmm. that is not categorized like anorexia would be mm-hmm. starvation. Bulimia is, mm-hmm. Bulimia nervosa is binging and purging. Orthorexia is over-exercising.
Interesting. Uh-huh. I can definitely uh-huh. see.
To maintain weight. Yeah. And I'm going to find more about it myself because, it's sort of a newer diagnosis that a lot of people haven't
heard really
about.
New. If there are no results, there's sure results. And, mm-hmm. I mean, you're in a very good field and you're always learning something. And you know what you don't know, so you'll learn a lot. And you're with honest people like Jordan who tell you that you don't know what you're talking about.
Tell me about it.
And
I hear that
a lot. And
I don't
know a lot about it, but I would definitely tune in and listen to that. Hey, what is your social media outlets?
We don't have any. We use WVUA FM's social media, mm-hmm. Facebook page, Twitter page. We have difficulty with social media because of the topics sometimes that we utilize, mm-hmm. and it's not monitored all the time. So in order for us to have a specific social media, like a Twitter page or a Facebook page or even Instagram, mm-hmm. we would need that to be monitored all the time because mm-hmm. somebody could tweet us that they're going to harm themselves, and if it's not monitored, it could, something could happen.
Very, very much
and
so.
And that would be horrible. But I am going to send the pictures out. We've taken some pictures of myself and Cape mm-hmm. and myself and Dr. Thomas. I'm going to tweet those out after the show. Mm-hmm. on the WVUA's Twitter page.
Sounds
and
awesome.
Maybe Facebook page if I can figure out how to do that.
I'll help you out.
Let me make some announcements before we go. Don't forget our shows are recorded and podcasted. They're recorded thanks to Cape. He's helped me record these shows, especially the one tonight. And they're also placed on the Counseling Center website. That's counseling.ua.edu. And if you want to listen to past shows, just click on the Brain Matters icon. It'll take you to some of those shows. You can also go to audioboom.com and type in WVUA FM, and you can see some of our shows listed on Audioboom. I want to mention, I mentioned just a minute ago that we offer groups at the Counseling mm-hmm. Center. We offer a number of groups, including workshops, support groups, therapy groups. I'm doing a group starting tomorrow, actually, Reducing Your Anxiety. I did it for a little bit last semester. Sometimes it's hard to get those groups going at the beginning of the semester. And usually we don't go over six people, maybe 6 to 8 people. But if you're interested in joining any of our groups, and some of those groups, like I mentioned, Reducing Your Anxiety, we have one on grief, we have one on body image, and also Knowing Yourself and Others is kind of an all-encompassing process group. So if you're interested, go to our website, counseling.ua.edu. It lists the times and the days and who's leading the group. And the best way to get involved with the group is actually to call the Counseling Center. It's 348-3863 and ask to speak to one of the group leaders about the specific group that you're interested in. As always, I want to thank a few people who've made this show possible. Dr. Lee Keyes, he's the executive director of the Counseling Center. Terry Siggers of the Office of Student Media, my production assistants, Jordan Williams, Natalie Beck, and Dorothy Beck, my colleagues at the Counseling Center, WVUA staff, especially Andrew Lanningham, who's been instrumental in editing our shows, and my guest tonight, Dr. Mark Thomas and Kate Sandlin. We'll be back next week with a show, as I mentioned, on orthorexia, which is kind of hard to say. So thanks for tuning in tonight. Again, I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. This has been Brain Matters on 90.7, The Capstone.